Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Global Outreach Mission. Today's scripture is taken from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, which says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." This is a tremendous verse that has many promises in it, but it tells us that it's impossible to please God without faith. We need to believe that God is. We need to believe that he's our Savior. We need to believe that he's done all these wonderful things for us, but also that he has a purpose for us and he wants us to do his will here on earth. And so it's impossible to please him if we don't have faith. One scripture tells us that if we don't have faith, we're actually sinning. So we need to have faith. And it goes on and has a wonderful promise. If you come to God, you believe that he is and that he's a rewarder. He actually rewards you for those who diligently seek him. If you're seeking him, if you want to have an intimate personal walk with him, you'll get a reward for that, for doing the things that you should do. But also you get a reward for doing the things that God directs you through the Holy Spirit each day. And you'll be rewarded in an eternity and you'll be doing the things that God wants you to do here on earth. It's a tremendous life that we have. We already, those of us who are believers, are living our eternal life. And we're laying up treasure in heaven, even as we live on earth. And so it's really important for us to surrender ourselves to God's will and to try to do his will each day. And we ask for divine appointments and he'll continue to meet our needs. He'll continue to open doors for us. And he'll continue to use us in the lives of others and the furtherance of his kingdom.
Saints for his coming, it's closer than it's ever been. I'm looking for Jesus to step out on a cloud. I'm listening for him to say when. Yes, I'm listening for him to say when. We shall be caught up,
be caught up.
We shall be caught up with him. Sorrow will stop, joy will begin. We shall be caught up with him. Yes, we shall be caught up with him. The graves will give up their occupants. The sea will give up its dead.
This is a radio edition of Global Times. Today we have in our studio David and Jean Foster, who are ministers in London, England. They've had a church there for many, many years and have done a tremendous job for the Lord there. They've been able to reach out into their community and wait till you hear his story. He's got so many irons in the fire and God has opened so many doors. It's just a tremendous blessing of the things that God's been able to do for them. So David, why don't you just start with the church? Tell us about the church and the different ethnic groups that come and how God is working there.
So 125 languages that are spoken in our area.
And right around our church facility, which is an old Victorian church building, and there's about 60% Muslim, and probably the rest are Sikh and Hindu. We've had, even the last 3 years, huge Hindu temple, another new temple just down the road. So very challenging. A lot of our Indians have said, actually, it's more Indian than India, because we have about every part of India represented in our area. Get any kind of Indian food available, North India, South India, whatever it might be. So people in our church, we've been blessed as the Lord has grown his church over the last, we've been there 17 years now. And it has been called by some of the national church leaders in the UK that it is probably one of the most multicultural churches in the UK. And the fact that we have an almost equal balance between African, and we have people from all over Africa in our congregation, between African and Asia and Eastern European and West Indian and some of the rest of us.
Is there any English people in your church?
Yeah. There's a few English.
There's a few.
There's a few white faces, not too many. But one of the things, again, it's the love of Jesus Christ that has bound us together. I had the unique opportunity, this was about 4 years ago, that and because I'm also the police chaplain for the area, which we can get to later, but because of that, I was invited by 450 Muslim leaders, British Muslim Association, that were meeting in their town hall for a formal dinner. It was after one of the terrorist attacks, so they were keen to try to encourage the fact that we are a peace-loving people. Awesome. And we're on getting along with everybody. But they invited me to come to represent Christianity.
Wow.
And they said, we'll give you 5 minutes. Of course, I took a little bit longer than that. But so just share. And the theme was unity in the midst of diversity. And I said, right, that's great. And so the Lord led me to share the fact that our congregation, being many, many different cultures, many different languages, and I was able to share in front of these 450 Muslim leaders, the thing that binds us together, that we can have unity in the midst of diversity, is Jesus Christ. His Spirit is what comes to live within us. He is the one that unites us together. And I was able to share the gospel with these 450 Muslim leaders and say it is because of Jesus Christ that we can have the kind of unity in our congregation.
That to me is a miracle. Let me pray for you. Father, we do thank you so much for your grace and for your love. Thank you for this good report. We thank you so much for David and for Gene. We thank you for their humility. We thank you for their love that they have for you, first of all, and then for these people who are lost and gone to a crisis eternity. And Lord, I thank you so much for the open doors that they have. I thank you for the way that they're meeting needs in Hindus and Muslims' lives and bringing them to Christ. I thank you for the police and the great impact he has in the whole police force in London, 50,000 souls. Lord, I do pray that you continue to watch over them and protect them and help them and draw them close to yourself. And I pray that you continue to give them strength, give them good health. And Lord, I do pray that you continue to give them divine appointments and open doors. And I pray that you continue to help them to see much fruit for the kingdom. So Lord, we just commit them into your hands as we ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour and for your prayers and financial support over the years. We continue to need funding to keep this broadcast on the air, and we are praying that God will help us throughout the end of the year to meet our needs. This month, we're offering a wonderful booklet entitled Loneliness by June Hunt. It's the best book that I've ever seen on loneliness, And I'm sure that people that are shut in, or people that have an empty nest, or people who are separated from their families can really benefit from this booklet. Let me read some of the persistent characterizations of loneliness. It's just a tremendous thing to be lonely. This book tries to cure that and tries to show you how to help it, and how to build a bridge to God and a bridge to others and other ways to help you in your loneliness. How to be alone but not lonely. You can get your copy by writing to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231.
What can wash away my sin? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. How precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. How precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin?
Today's message is from Reverend Art Larson and is entitled At Jesus' Feet, Mary of Bethany. Printed copies are available upon request.
How are you dealing with stress in your life these days? Life is filled with it, isn't it? And as we continue on that steady course of trying to never allow the stress level to get beyond what we can deal with, we still have to realize that many pressure-producing circumstances are beyond our control. That's the result of progress in this fast-moving 20th century. Stress is woven into the very fabric of our existence. In fact, one man said, I have so many problems, whatever happens to me today, it'll be 2 weeks before I can even worry about it. Yes, stress is a part of daily life. But how do you deal with it? I've been impressed in studying the life of a lady in Scripture who apparently had learned the joy of living above the stressful experiences of life, and she had many of them. Her name was Mary. Now, there are many Marys in the Bible, and this one is Mary of Bethany. She had a sister named Martha. She had a brother named Lazarus. I want to look at three occasions. In fact, they are the only three occasions that she is named by name in the Scripture, and each time she is at Jesus' feet. The first one is in Luke chapter 10, and we'll just say that here Mary is at his feet learning. A very important way to deal with stress. We'll find out what that means and who she was learning from and what she was learning. In Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38, I read, It came to pass as they went, Jesus entered into a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him, that is Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Very fascinating story as Jesus came to visit this home of Mary, Martha, Lazarus. And as he was teaching and Martha was so busy serving, Jesus commended Mary because she was at his feet learning. Now, when we sit at Jesus' feet and learn and listen to his word, that is, for us today, reading the scriptures, reading the Bible, there are three things that I notice here that enable us to overcome stress. The first one is learning from Jesus frees us from the cares of life. You see, Martha was overcome by them. She was cumbered about. She was overly busy. She was anxious. She was troubled. Jesus, who sees our hearts, knew that, and he said to her, "You're anxious. You are troubled about many things." And when we do what Mary did, take time to be quiet and alone and learn at Jesus' feet, it frees us from the cares of life. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, read it sometime soon, "Be not anxious, be not anxious, be not anxious, be not anxious." Jesus said it 5 times, "Be not anxious." In other words, don't worry, don't be overcome and stressed out by the cares of life. He said, worry is caused by finances and food and fashion and fitness and the future, and we worry about all those things. But if we read the scriptures, if we meditate on them, if we learn at Jesus' feet, it frees us from the cares of life. For example, the Bible says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ." The second thing that Mary learned at Jesus' feet was not only that it freed her from the cares of this life as compared to Martha, but it focuses us on the things that matter. Jesus said, "One thing is needful." Now, what Martha was doing was very important, and it was needful. She was preparing a lovely meal for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But Mary was focusing on something even more important, and Jesus called it "one thing needful." He called it that good part. He was saying it's the best thing that she could do. Why? Because Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away." The Bible says, "Don't love this world system, neither the things that are in the world system." All that's in the world system is this: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that's not of the Father, that's of the world. And the world is passing away. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Ah, when we really focus on the things that matter, on the unsearchable riches of Christ, the eternal Word of God, then stress is lifted. You'll be amazed, my friend, if you memorize a verse a week, what it will do to your mindset. But thirdly, learning at Jesus' feet not only frees us from the cares of this life and focuses us on the things that matter, but it fortifies us with the things that remain. Jesus said, "Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her." He was talking about the things that remain. It's interesting, in the book of Hebrews, it speaks about listening to him that speaks from heaven. And in the Old Testament, when his voice spoke at Mount Sinai, it shook the earth. And then the writer says, once more, God is going to shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. The Bible teaches that he's going to remove the present earth and heaven, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. 2 Peter tells us that. And then the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12:27, that this signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, that the things that cannot be shaken will remain, and that we who believe in him, receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved, can have grace to serve him acceptably with reverence and fear. In other words, to live for the things that remain and really count. Someone has said, "Let me hold lightly things of the earth, transient treasures, what are they worth? Moths can corrupt them, rust can decay. All that bright beauty fades in a day. Let me hold fast, Lord, things of the skies. Quicken my vision, open my eyes. Show me your riches, glory, and grace, boundless as time is and endless as space. Ah, Mary was at the feet of Jesus learning, freed her from the cares of life, focused her on the things that matter, fortified her with the things that remain. Try it, my friend. The second time that Mary is mentioned in the scripture is in John chapter 11. And in John chapter 11, we find that Mary is leaning. She's at Jesus' feet leaning. Now, this is a very fascinating, and it's quite a long story in John chapter 11, and so I cannot read the entire story except that Jesus was informed by the sisters, Mary and Martha, that he whom Jesus loved, their brother Lazarus, was very sick. But Jesus remained two more days where he was, and then he went the short distance to Bethany. When he got there, Lazarus had already been dead 4 days. And Jesus said, "This death is for the glory of God, that you may believe." This is what he told his disciples. And Martha came out to meet him as he was coming, and she said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And then she said, "I'm going to go and get my sister Mary." And she went to Mary and said, "Mary, the Master has come, and he's calling for you." And Mary ran to see Jesus, and we find that she fell down at his feet, John 11:32, and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died." Jesus saw her weeping and groaned in his spirit and said, "Where have you laid him?" And they took him there. And then it says in John 11:35, Jesus wept. And the folks who were viewing it all said, "Behold how he loved him." And then Jesus, groaning again within himself, came to the grave, told them to take the stone away, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. "Lazarus, come forth," he said. And Lazarus came forth, bound hand and foot in grave clothes, his face bound with a napkin. And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." Oh, life is filled with many sorrows, my friend. We need to learn, as Mary did, to lean on Jesus. We need to go to his feet. Sorrow is part of life. The Bible says, because of the sin of our parents, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden, death entered because of sin. And death has passed upon all men. It's appointed unto men once to die. And we all must face this death. And when it happens within the confines of our lives and our family and our friends, there is sorrow. There was for Mary. Some of you today, oh, bless your hearts, are going through the sorrow of a loved one who has passed away. And oh, I trust you're learning to lean at Jesus' feet. Do you know what Mary experienced at Jesus' feet that day? His compassion. It says Jesus wept. Oh, how he loves you, my friend. And he knows when you come with the sorrow and the tears and the stress of it all, that he alone can meet your need. And he suffers with you. She experienced not only his compassion, but his comfort. It says Jesus groaned. Twice it says that in the story. It means he was deeply moved. He was deeply touched. He is moved and touched by your sorrows, by your cares. And thirdly, she experienced his courage. Oh, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus had said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Jesus had taught in John 6 that those whom the Father brought to him, he would keep them and he would raise them in the last day. Again and again he said it, "I will raise him in the last day." We're looking forward to the resurrection day, the reunion day when our loved ones in Christ and we who are left behind will be comforted and united again. That's why it says now we can come before the throne of grace, because we have a Savior who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, was in all points tested like we are, apart from sin. And we can experience his mercy and grace to find that help we need in the time of need. Yes, Mary was learning, Mary was leaning, but in John chapter 12, Mary was loving. She was expressing to the Lord Jesus Christ how much she loved him. It was after Lazarus had been raised and Jesus came again to Bethany just before the Passover, just 6 days before it, and Martha again was serving, and Mary came and at Jesus' feet she took out the most costly thing she had. She had an alabaster box of perfume worth 300 denarii, it says in the scripture here. That was about a year's wages of the average worker. It was very expensive. And she broke it and she poured it on Jesus' feet and she wiped his feet with her hair and showed how much she loved him. She gave him the most precious thing she had. She had a number of choices. She could have kept that for herself. She could have poured it on someone else. She could have shared it with herself and others. But she gave it to Jesus. Why? Because she knew who he was. Because she was saying, Lord, thank you for raising my brother Lazarus. Thank you for all you've done for us. It was faith also and love that caused her to do it. But lip service was not enough. She had to give. The cheap was not enough. She gave the costly. Part of it was not enough. She gave it all. Unbroken was not enough. She poured it out to Jesus at his feet. Those same choices are open to us every day. We can either bend under the stresses of life or we can pour out ourselves at Jesus' feet, learning and leaning and simply loving him and giving to him what he wants. He wants us. He wants you, my friend. He wants you to give him yourself. And what God claims, I yield. What I yield, he accepts. What he accepts, he cleanses. What he cleanses, he fills. What he fills, he blesses. And what he blesses, he uses. Life will always be stressful. But at Jesus' feet, learning his word, leaning on him in times of sorrow, and loving him and giving him all that you are and have and ever hope to be, oh, you will find he will take it and cleanse it and fill it and bless it. That is your life. And use it for his glory. Why? Because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Give him your all today.
I trust that God used the previous message to bless you and to encourage you and to draw you close to Christ. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we're always concerned about people who listen, that first of all, they're growing in their faith, which is the main thing, but also that they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear in that it points out from Genesis to Revelation that all of us are sinners and we need a Savior, all of us. And the only Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who left the glories of heaven, came to earth, with a goal of living a sinless life and being the perfect sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And he died in your place and he paid the debt for your sins. And because of that, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven, the Holy Spirit indwells you, and you become a brother and sister in Christ and a member of God's family. What a tremendous blessing, what a tremendous relief to have a connection with the God of the universe. You can do that by praying a simple prayer and asking God, asking Christ to come into your life. Remember to order your copy of Loneliness, and you can get your copy of Loneliness by writing to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. You can also hear previous messages of Canada's National Bible Hour on our website at www.missiongo.org, missiongo.org. May the Lord bless you throughout this next week.